From the Voice of America, this is Asia Weekly. North Korea conducted another missile test this week, the latest in a long string of tests in 2016. Are the toughest sanctions ever against Pyongyang designed to curb this behavior? Hi there, everyone. I'm Steve Miller. North Korea conducted more missile tests this week, despite being under the harshest sanctions placed on it by the United Nations and South Korea's decision to deploy the United States Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Missile System, also known as THAAD. So, were the sanctions in place effectively designed to curb North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's behavior? Roger Baker, VP of Strategic Analysis for Stratfor.com.
I think it's fairly clear that the sanctions, as they're designed and as they're implemented, are really not achieving the purpose that the United States or the United Nations has put forward. They are not preventing the North from pursuing a nuclear program and a missile program. And in fact, they may be accelerating that program as the North sees a need to create another layer of protection for itself as it sees itself increasingly isolated by the international community.
Harry Kazianis, Director of Defense Studies at the Center for the National Interest, added that the role of sanctions really depends on what the overall goal of such a program would be.
Is your goal to try and squeeze the regime, to try and sort of constrain it economically? I think the record on that is mixed.
What Kazianis says is important to focus on is
the North Korean regime isn't exactly tied to the world economically. This isn't like the United States or China or other countries where they're heavily reliant on trade with multiple trade partners. They're not integrated into the global financial system like almost every other country on the planet. That they're called the hermit kingdom for a reason.
Given the sanctions placed on North Korea and its accelerated testing schedule, is it likely that Kim Jong-un will cease his nuclear and missile programs?
No. I think if we're trying to figure out if there's any way that Kim is going to go with these programs, I think in the long term, the answer is absolutely no.
Because, as Baker puts it, the way North Korea views the sanctions and the programs isn't the same as a few decades ago.
What we've actually seen with the acceleration of tests and with the position of North Korea is that they are no longer looking at these programs as something that they can trade for economic benefit like they may have done in the 1990s. They are looking at these programs as something that they need to complete for national survival and national strengthening. And therefore, there's really nothing that would convince them to trade them away.
If that is indeed the case, then what can be done? In Kazianis's opinion,
if we accept the premise that North Korea is going to use missiles to hypothetically deliver nuclear weapons in some sort of, you know, horrific scenario, then I think our best option is for the United States to work with our South Korean and Japanese friends to really ring North Korea around with lots of missile defense platforms.
Something he notes is already beginning, with South Korea deploying the United States THAAD missile system and Japan updating its Patriot missiles. Baker says
one of the possibilities to at least manage the pace and the development of the weapons perhaps is some form of engagement. Engagement certainly takes a bit of a bad reputation in the United States. It's seen as giving privileges to North Korea or rewarding them for bad behavior or something of that sort. But at least it would provide a regularized form of contact.
With 2016 coming to a close, what could we see from North Korea in the year's waning weeks? Baker says the world may see more weapons tests, including those from a mobile launching facility or submarine-based missiles. But
if North Korea starts to be perceived more as a risk to the Chinese, then they may pursue alternate political relations in Pyongyang. The Chinese always hold the potential to intervene physically in North Korean politics. They refrain from doing that because that would set a precedent that completely changes the way in which they've tried to shape their international foreign policy for the past 30 years.
Kazianis agrees that Kim may order more missile tests and that he would not be shocked if there was another nuclear test before 2017 rolls around.
Now, we have to keep in mind, from what at least I've seen, as the months and years have sort of gone on, these tests are becoming sort of part of the status quo. People are getting used to them. They're not drawing the headlines that they used to. So there is a possibility that Kim might try to ratchet up tensions even more.
So what do you think will happen next on the Korean Peninsula? You can share with me your answer on Twitter at SteveMillerVOA, or you can do so on our community Facebook page, VOA Now. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share with your friends, and to get it delivered to you automatically, you can subscribe in iTunes or go to our website, voanews.com, and download it there. Well, that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. From Washington, I'm Steve Miller.